Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl. And this podcast is all about helping you to become your calmest, happiest, and most confident self. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. I am speaking to Lama Yeshe, who is a Tibetan monk. He has a new book out called From a Mountain in Tibet. And it's an incredible story that he has. He escaped from Tibet when he was 15 and travelled overland through freezing conditions with a group of originally 300 people, and only 15 actually made it to their destination, getting out of Tibet to escape from the Chinese regime. And he shares this story in this podcast. You can obviously buy his book if you want to hear more about the story. It's really beautifully written. I love this topic. I was really into Buddhism several years ago, and I was traveling about 11 years ago and got the opportunity to go to Tibet myself and met a lot of monks and went to Lhasa. And so this is a really interesting story for me to hear, having had so much interest in it myself. And I think you'll really like it. So he starts off by sharing his story of how he escaped Tibet. We talk about how we can meditate. If you're somebody that finds meditation challenging, difficult, he has some really sage advice for that. We talk about how we can let go of our problems. We talk about why we rely too much on plans. What's the saying? Life is what happens when you're busy making plans. And yeah, lots of other things. And I don't know if anyone listening has ASMR. If you have it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's when you, well, you have to Google it. If you don't know what it is, Google it. But ASMR is basically where you get kind of tingles from certain sounds. And it's almost like a type of synesthesia. And it's thought that about 10% of the population have this. And I'm someone that has ASMR. And if you have ASMR, you will find that this episode of him speaking is unintentional ASMR. So you might enjoy that as well. He has a very calming, soothing voice. And I like to think about this episode as a bit of a calming, healing transmission from someone that is really known as a very important figure in Buddhism. And he is the abbot of the Sangyelim Monastery, if anyone's been there, in Holy Island in Scotland, the Tibetan centre. And so some of you might have visited there or heard of that as well. That's where he's based now. So I hope you like this episode. You can come on over to Instagram and let me know what you thought. I'm at Chloe Brotheridge. And I also have loads of calming and confidence boosting freebies over on my website, karmayou.com. And you can download those by heading over there. All right, let's get into the interview with Lama Yeshe. Yes, thank you so much for joining me. I have loved reading your book. I thought it was so interesting and fascinating to me.
Have you all got my book now?
Yes, yes. Yes, I've got a PDF of it in advance.
Okay.
Could you tell us a little bit about your story and your story of how you came to become a monk and leave Tibet? Could you share a little bit of that with us?
If you read my book, but I'll repeat this again. In your part of the world, I am very backward and primitive human being. because where I was born, you can see also in the book, the village I was born, it only happened to be 12 family. And it's very deep inside the camp, quite forest, mountains everywhere, and the forest between two big rivers. When they meet together, go down to China, and they Vietnam call it Yukon River. It's a massive river, and it's a very mild climate. But when the Chinese came, they cut off all the big trees which had been there for 1,000 years old. So in the picture, you won't see those big trees. But when in that part of the world, because there was no road of any kind, people never go out from their little sort of safe place. And they even never bothered know anybody outside. So it's the 1959, the Chinese force have taken over our part of the world. If you see called, if you look into now called capital of Kham, called Chamdo, it's a massive built up, very big building, like almost like European city. I'm only 15 kilometers from that. And then gradually going to my brother's monastery, learning from him, very strong. He was a very strong regime because he was the head of a monastery. So when I grow up, I'll be helping him to run the monastery. So young people are very highly disciplined because they themselves have no wisdom to put up effort to learn things. So it was very tough. And I have never appreciated that. And also where his monastery is, if you look into Koltawa Domalakang, one of the highest place in Tibetan plateau, is it 15,000?
15,000 feet.
Yes, it's 15,000 above sea level. So it has no tree, can't grow any trees. And always it's a very barren land. But Tibetan is a very massive country. So it's like as far as you can see plateau. And then there's a massive snow mountain behind the monastery called Kulakonya. So then there's also many wild animals running around because lamas never kill them. Lamas become the environmentalist, means nobody else can kill them. So they're very free to run around. And then in 59, when we are forced out of this, we have to then leave everything we have. I have never met my family, and we have to run towards Lhasa because we think that's where Dalai Lama used to be. We think it would be a safe place to go there. But as soon as we are more or less closer to there, then they say Dalai Lama has escaped to India. So then we have to turn backward. The only way is where we escaped is almost very close to Burma, Brahmaputra River. So in India now it's called Assam. Brahmaputra River is one of the biggest, longest river in from Tibet, coming from Tibet, goes all the way from there to India, through Bangladesh. So that we follow the toward that river. But due to somehow Chinese knowledge of us escaping, we have to cross in the night in the kayak made by very small leather kayak. It only takes 4 or 5 people. And we crossing though, because it's very light to carry. And we have to cross in the night because daytime it's impossible. That area is already liberated by Chinese. So they will never be, we will never be able to escape. So the only way is to cross the night. But in the beginning, because we have very high Rinpoche, we call precious lamas, from 5 different monasteries, these five Rinpoches, and I'm the youngest brother of Rinpoche, and one of the Lama's attendant, we are the first one to cross. But we thought we crossed, and then my brother and other people went back to others. The Chinese started to shoot us. And then I was so young, and I never actually confronted guns and people shooting. But this High Lama's attendant, he come from very far away from Kham. He knows. He says, now we really have to escape for our life. Chinese are shooting us. So they've been carrying like 11 Tungba means 11th century relics, very precious. He divided two, one put on my neck, one he took. Then he took my hand. We start cross this, but we didn't know there is another sort of place where there's plenty of water. We didn't see this before. So it's the middle of winter, very, very cold. We have to cross this. So I'm wearing very, lambskin coat. That's what we wear. So water went almost up there, we cross. And then as soon as we got out there, we have to go into like head side of mountain. Here, snow everywhere, so cold. But if you're so terrified of death and Chinese, we never managed to die. So a few of us went up there to hide under the big, big old trees, a trunk. And then Chinese are shooting everywhere, going everywhere. And then out of 300, only 15 people escaped. Remaining, they caught everybody. That's one of my oldest brother. He was also caught. And then they take him to a camp, and they tied it every man back. And the women are saying, you people should go and beg some provision. And this man, all of you have to go to build mortar road for Chinese, forced labor, and they have to look after themselves. They want to feed you. If you really watch, emotion is all repetition. I call spinning wheel. You know, engine is not running, but the wheel is running. So most people get so emotional going to the past. All the bad experience they had, or they trying to sort of get hold onto good experience. Same thing again. There is no meaning. Then some get stressed, you bring the future suffering. So you have no clue what is waiting for you. You have no clue tomorrow whether you'll be wake up alive or dead. Still, you manage to think all your planning. So in your culture, language says you have to plan everything. You can never plan. All of your plans say you plan to get, find a nice partner, thinking it will be the life you want to lead, the very nice partner, no problem, having nice children. It doesn't happen with choices. It's very few find that dreaming partner. But even you get the very soon, your monkey mind is so bored so easily. You're looking faults instead of quality you saw in the beginning. So when you start to look at other people's fault, you get into a lot of problems. But my method to all of your listeners is, when they sit too long, when you have no control over your mind, having plenty of time is a disaster, because then you get into difficult. So what I suggest is, if you are locked in, You have plenty of time. Pick up new habit. If your neighbor, if your land, start door gardening, planting your need for food. Go jogging. When you're really jogging, daytime you're not thinking of the silly things. Always think, when will I be free from this emotional disturbance? The day you manage to think others more than yourself, your problem's gone forever. It's me, I, my likeness, my need. I'm happy. I'm not happy. It's I. I is the root of every human being's problem. There's no Eastern I or Western I. I is the root. So if you look inwardly, okay, this I is causing so much failure, disturbance. I look inwardly and investigate, where is this I? The minute you look inwardly, you will never find this I. There isn't anything called I. Then you will start to really dismantle this solidity of I. So even if we are very learned in culture, religion, all the Dharma texts, these people will not have enlightenment. Who will have enlightenment or who become Buddha means are people who are able to look inwardly, never in the past, never in the future. If you stay in the moment, that is called Buddha. There isn't Buddha out there, solid body form. So the minute we lose that, then you're going back to samsara. You're going into spinning. So if you do a lot of years like routine like me, then I can see meaningless of this. Repeating again. The same thing. There's nothing new. So I start to feel really sort of giggly, thinking, what's stupid? There isn't anything we need to be worried because there isn't anything to chase. So you all out there learn to be in the present, not in the past, not in the future. Present. 5 seconds, try again, 1 more second, 3 more second. It's like block building, new habit building. So gradually you feel more joyful, you feel more confident, you feel self-respect, you feel really a lot of compassion toward those people who have everything, still they're miserable human beings. If you say, okay, we are thinking people who are billionaire, millionaire, whoever, everything, they should be happy. They're the most lonely, most miserable human being you ever see. That should teach you money isn't the one which makes you happy. Relationship isn't what makes you happy because they are all impermanent, means nature is changing constantly all the time. Sometimes you're happy with your partner, sometimes you're not happy with the partner. Wealth sometimes becomes useful, sometimes it brings you downfall. Nowadays, it should be, we call interconnectedness of the world around us. This is disease. Has no respect to wealthy people. It is very discriminating. Every life form in this planet Earth, we have to suffer. Why? Human beings violated all the rules of the, we call, ecosystem. We abused Mother Earth. We have been good in abusing each other. We've been plundering the resources of Earth. polluting river, and also rich becomes greedy and greedy, and they have never satisfaction. Poorer become poorer. They don't have a plate in the food. They don't have a clean water to drink. All these plastic bags, all these pollutions in the river, sea, it is killing a lot of wildlife. But due to this disease, there is a side benefit of salt. Ozone layer is much more cleaner than ever before. Not people are able to travel in cheap, silly aeroplane, which is responsible for all this disaster. So I echo you, future, our whole world will be changed for better. We'll be needing less, wanting less. Everybody learn to take care of each other. Like these times, there are so many decent human beings. Those nurses, they give their life to save other life. That is called part of Bodhisattva. So there are so many decent lives. So I would like everybody who's listening to me, involving environment improvement, like Samyeli, every bit of land I have, I've been planting trees. My sanghas saying they're happy to go and plant the trees anyway, wherever there's opportunity. I have a major project in Cedar Peak, very major project, eco project, which is about 2 hours from Cape Town, from South Africa, at the most beautiful, at the most unpolluted. 8,000 hectares of prime site on the mountaintop. I managed to ask these 5 wealthy sisters. Their family been there a long time and they made fortune, so they bought this. So I managed to ask them to dedicate this for world heritage, for environment. I want every human beings think less of I, think more of others. We will from now on restore the environment. We will cleanse the sea. So I have many young people. I always say, you are my joyful representative. Really smart young people. They're going to look into sea, how they can clean all the sea under the sea, so they can tide it up and all this pollution. There's 2-3 young people. They say that's their commitment. So I am sending 3 layers of different people. Some very young ones say, you're my joyful representative. Mm-hmm. Joyful, follow the path of joyful forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, nothing can go wrong.
A lot of people that I have met really want to meditate, but find meditation very difficult. What advice do you have for people?
All of you are very wrong. People who are trying to meditate, there's no benefit. You're trying to calm your mind. Calming mind, yes, if you have no other challenge, you may find some calmness. But the minute stress, anger, emotion, that is gone. But if you're able to say, actually, calmness is fine. If you have a calmer means you have a better, like, clear foundation, like less scattered clouds, then you have to come into the being in the present. When you're in the present, nothing to push, nothing to bring in, this is total solution. So use sometimes calm mind, but then work with the calm mind, how to become good person, how to become kind person. Make sure you don't discriminate, say, this is my family, they're my enemy. There is no enemy in the world. Enemy is our own ignorant. So the minute you think enemy, you say they're your stupidity. You judged.
I think there's a lot of that at the moment. We even sometimes with our friends, we can see them as the enemy, with people having different political beliefs or different beliefs about what the government are doing or what's happening with COVID. And I'm seeing a lot of people really making each other the enemy, but we need to remember.
So you need to say to them, with clear head, you will find a solution. With scattered mind, you join with scattered people. Your contribution, your interest does not aid for change of the world better, but you make world things better. So see, my group, that group, this group is right, that group is wrong, because you judged. So you can see, no judgment means if you don't judge, forgiveness is something not in your religion, not in your culture, tradition. That's the biggest Christianity fault. So we say Tibetan five poisons. We ate unforgiveness, another poison, because when you don't forgive, you can never be free from dark frame of mind. You think, okay, I like these people very much, but he or she did something. I can never forget. No. I escaped from Tibet. They tortured my father. They have done so much harm to our family. But we learned to forgive all the Chinese people, because Chinese people are not fault. Policy of ignorant people on the top. I think after finishing this, I'll ask Anil Lamb to give you a program made a long time ago. You watch this, then you can see how independent mind of a very primitive Tibetan mother sentient beings. They are able to rebel against all these thousands of Chinese soldiers marching. 15,000 women in Lhasa come out without nobody organizing, saying, "You go home, this is our country." They have no fear. Yes, they say, "You go home." And one of these Kamba, he's a Kamba, is very stubborn, tough woman. They caught her there and they take her back to Kham. 300 of them are put in prison for 28 years. The more they give them a hard time, more they become joyful. They miss singing songs. But he said, she was angry woman. Really, she was so angry. When she came to Dharamsala to opportunity to see His Holiness Dalai Lama, His Holiness 3 years walking home saying, "Mother, don't get anger. Anger doesn't free you. Anger make very unhappy woman. When you learn to give up the anger, you'll be most joyful, fulfilled, maybe." She succeeded this, and I think you should watch this. That's the most beautiful. This is all Tibetan women's talking. How independent mind they have. Nobody told them to do this. They don't blame anybody.
Thank you so much for everything that you've shared.
I have said enough, and if anybody like ask you any specific questions, you send me short email. My secretary will answer you.
That's great. Thank you so much for talking to me and sharing your story.
Always to help mother sentient beings. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Karma You podcast with me, Chloe Bretheridge. Don't forget, you can download loads of freebies for anxiety and confidence at my website, karmayou.com. You can also find out about my app and my one-on-one sessions. Please do subscribe to this podcast in the Apple Podcast app. And if you have enjoyed it or found it helpful, please leave me a review. It makes a massive difference to helping the podcast get discovered by other people. And come on over and find me on Instagram. I'm hanging out there every day. You can find me at Chloe Brotheridge. Let me know what you thought of this episode. And please do share it with anyone who might need to hear this today. So I'm sending you loads of love and I hope you have a brilliant week ahead.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.